ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानमिदन्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदमयं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पथे गोपेशा गोपिका कण्ठ राधा कण्ठ नमोस्तुते थप्तकाञ्चना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रियै वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण It is our great pleasure to welcome you to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. We have this Sunday gathering every week. Today is quite special as it is the beginning of our preparations for next year's Gaur Purnima. In other words, it's the last day of this year's festival. In this beautiful prayer by Vasudev Ghosh, he is expressing not only what he has heard, not only what he has felt or read, but what he has directly seen. Vasudev Ghosh is one of the very confidential personal associates of Lord Chaitanya. We read about him and his brothers, Govinda Ghosh and Madhava Ghosh, in all of the great biographies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially Vrindavan Das Thakur and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, describe these three brothers. They were especially very dear to the Lord. Some special effects to wake you up. This whole material existence is just a series of special effects to wake us up, ultimately. They were very dear to the Lord and all the devotees for the sweetness and the devotion of their kirtan, chanting Krishna's names. Whenever these three brothers would sing, Sri Vrindavan Dham would appear. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibhu. Srimad Bhagavatam tells that wherever there is a person who loves the Lord, who loves Krishna, all the holy places are present there. Why is that? Because wherever the Lord is personally present, that is a holy place. That is a tirtha. And it's said that Krishna never steps a foot out of Vrindavan. But the great devotees, they carry Krishna always in their hearts. And Krishna is manifesting to them in their hearts. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hrite sharjuna tishtati. Actually, Krishna is in the heart of every living being as the Paramatma. But yayatamam prapadyante. Krishna reveals himself according to the nature of our love, our surrender. So for those who offer love and devotion to Krishna with pure hearts, Krishna is always manifesting himself within the heart. And Krishna manifests himself through the world, to the world, through the hearts of his devotees. Therefore, wherever a devotee is, that place is Vrindavan. Vasudev Ghosh and his brothers, they would sing the glories of Vrindavan with so much love and so much devotion and so much sincerity that everyone's hearts would melt. When they would chant the name Radharani, Krishna and their associates, very challenging. Somehow or other, they would appear, and devotees could feel them. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made Vasudev Ghosh one of the, and his brothers, every single year in Puri, the leaders of one of the seven kirtan parties during Rath Yatra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance to his kirtan. In Navadvip, they were in the house of Srivas singing and dancing. They were intimate associates of Nityananda Prabhu. And we read when Lord Nityananda with his devotees went to Panihati, the Ghosh brothers led a kirtan that drove Nityananda Prabhu and everyone mad in the ecstasy of love. So Vasudev Ghosh has written many beautiful poems and prayers about his experiences with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They encapsulize the philosophy which is the essence of all knowledge in all Vedas. Krishna tells in Gita, Vedaishta sarver aham eva vidyo vidanta krit veda vide vachaham. I am the author of the Vedas. I'm the compiler. And all the Vedas, ultimately, I am to be known. So Vasudev Dutt is talking about, singing about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the very essence of all knowledge. And Lord Chaitanya himself explained his purport to the word Mahajano Yena Gadasa Banda, that one cannot really understand the conclusions and the essence of all knowledge and how to attain it, no matter how much study we do. But when we observe and follow in the footsteps of the great souls, then it can be easily understood. Vasudev Dutt, all glories, he says, to the dear son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. All the three worlds offer prayers unto his lotus feet. In Nilachala he holds the conch shell disc, club and lotus flower, while in the town of Nadia he holds a sannyasi staff and water pot. It is said that in olden times, as Lord Ramchandra, he killed the demon Ravana. Then later, as Lord Krishna, he revealed the splendorously opulent pastimes of Goloka. Now he has come again as Lord Gauranga, the golden avatar, endowed with the ecstatic mood of Sri Radha, and has spread widely the chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna. Vasudev Ghosh says, with folded hands, he who is Gaura is he who is Krishna, is he who is Jagannath. When Lord Chaitanya returned from Gaya, he manifested openly to the devotees the inner secrets and purpose of his descent into the world. He was deeply immersed in the highest mahabhav of the feelings of the love of Sri Radha for Krishna. Radha bhava duti suvalitam naomi Krishna swarup. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna who came to search and taste the sweetness of the love of Radha. The knower of everything. There is one thing by his own inconceivable lila that he doesn't know unless he takes the role of Radha herself to experience it. And not only that, but he came to distribute Radha's love to the world through this very simple process of sincerely, without duplicity, chanting the holy names. So much better than the cell phones. After some time in the house of Srivas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform kirtan with his devotees. First they started having kirtan all day. And one day Lord Chaitanya said to the devotees, "We are chanting all day,
But night we are wasting in sleep. Human life is so precious, and every moment of human life is the most precious thing. From this day on, let us chant for the next 1 year, all night, every night. You do not sound very enthusiastic. But when the devotees heard that, they didn't think of, what about sleep? They didn't think about, if we're chanting all day and then we're chanting all night for 1 year? They were not making any material considerations. They just wanted to please the Lord. And they all were so very, very happy when he made that request. They all responded with a very tumultuous, enthusiastic Hari Bol. So they began these kirtans. Lord Chaitanya would only allow the very, very most intimate, closest associates of his, who had no material desires whatsoever, to enter into these kirtans. The reason is because they were so deep that a person who had any desires based on the selfish ego, they could not appreciate, they could not understand. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was always in the role of a devotee because he wanted to teach us by his example how to be a devotee. And knowing of past, present, and future, Lord Chaitanya saw at the time in India and how in the future it would be very fashionable to proclaim that I am God. That spiritual teachers would claim, I am God. And you are God. And everyone is God. And God is one. But Lord Chaitanya was teaching that true love of God can only be understood when we realize this achintya bheda bheda tattva. That we're inconceivably simultaneously one with God and different from God. Like the ray of a sun is one with the sun, it gives off heat and light. In quality, we are one with God. We are Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, the eternal soul. But as the sun ray is only a little part of the sun, similarly, mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are a fragmental part of Krishna, a sacred divine spark of God. And therefore, jivera swarupoi krishnera nityadas, the eternal nature of that spark, the soul, is we are servants of God. And that service is not a limitation. Krishna did not create us in such a way to limit us, our potential. Krishna created us as jivas so that we could have the full experience of ecstatic love and taste God's ecstatic love and understand the ecstatic love between all jivas when our hearts are centered around watering the root of the tree, satisfying Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, he was God, but he was acting like a devotee, and he was speaking as a devotee. And some of his devotees, from studying the scriptures and seeing his qualities, they understood, you are Krishna. And whenever anybody would say that, he would hold his ears, block his ears with his hands, and run away. And cry out, Vishnu, Vishnu, do not contaminate my heart by calling me God. I am the eternal servant of the servant of the Lord. That was his spirit. His philosophy was not to be God. His philosophy was to love God and in loving God to love every living thing. That was the gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. Haridas Thakur was always chanting God's names in the spirit of Lord Chaitanya. And somebody asked him, what is the goal of chanting Hare Krishna? Is the goal liberation, mukti? And Haridas Thakur said, the goal of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is not to improve your materialistic life, even to the extent of elevation to higher planets. It is not to get yogic mystic powers to perform miracles before people's eyes. It is not even liberation. The goal of chanting the holy names of the Lord is to awaken the potential within all of us of prema bhakti, ecstatic love for Krishna, to realize the sweetness of Krishna's love for us, which is infinite, and to realize our infinite love for Krishna. That is the highest experience of happiness. That is the most inclusive form of liberation. And he said, liberation from suffering is a natural byproduct of one who experiences prema, pure love. That is the goal of the chanting of the holy names. That is the real benediction that Lord Chaitanya came to give us. But he wanted to teach us how to chant. So he took the role of a devotee. And he was so humble that he would serve all other devotees. He would see someone who had just washed their clothes, and he would pick up their clothes and carry it home for them. He would go to the Ganga and see sometimes people would be bathing in the Ganga. And Lord Chaitanya, this is after he manifested his lila of the Sankirtan movement, he would bring their clothes, he would bring them tilak, he would serve them prasad. He would love to serve the devotees. Servant of the servant of the servant. And it was very difficult. Advaita Acharya, Lord Chaitanya would always go to touch his feet out of respect and honor. And Sri Advaita, this is my beloved Lord. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Krishna. You can't touch my feet. I am your servant. And Advaita would try to touch Lord Chaitanya's feet, but Lord Chaitanya was very powerful. So Advaita could not ever touch his feet. But Lord Chaitanya would always touch Advaita's feet. Hare Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda tried to do that, usually they both won. But with Advaita, only Lord Chaitanya. This was his mood. I'm a devotee. Servant of the servant. But from time to time, when he would go into very high states of ecstasy as everybody would dance and chant the holy names, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would fulfill their desires like a glimpse by revealing his original nature as Krishna. But there was one pastime which marks such a prominent place in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into the mood of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, Krishna, for 21 consecutive hours, just to fulfill the desires of his devotees. It was in the house of Srivas. Like any other day, they were performing Nam Sankirtan. Everyone was dancing, singing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the role of a devotee, was dancing right among them, embracing them, weeping in tears of love, chanting God's names with their arms raised. Suddenly the Lord did something that he never did before. He went right up to Srivas Thakur's altar and sat in the seat of Vishnu. In that seat were Shalagram Shilas. Lord Chaitanya picked up all the Shalagram Shilas. He sat on the seat and put the Shalagram Shilas on his lap. And the devotees had never been so happy. Our Lord, we want to serve him, but he never accepts our service. They were praying, they were yearning, they were longing to serve the Lord to their heart's content, but he never accepted because he was a devotee. He accepted in his heart, but not in form. But on this day, he was going to accept all of their services. And they looked at him, and he looked at them, and he said, "Sing the bathing song." And they understood exactly what that meant. We can perform Abhishek for Lord Chaitanya. And they got barrels and barrels and buckets and pots of Ganga water, and they performed a beautiful Abhishek for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then they decorated his body with jewels and with garments. At that time he had very beautiful, long, curling hair. They offered arti. And then they started offering food. And whatever they offered, he immediately ate it. They offered him hundreds of pots of Ganga water, and within seconds he drank it all. Then they started bringing him pots of kheer and condensed milk and dahi. Instantly. They brought him thousands of bananas. Within moments, the Lord was revealing, like at Govardhan, at Anakuta. The Lord can accept any offerings, anywhere, at all times. He has unlimited capacity. You and me, try eating 1,000 gallons of Ganga water and 1,000 bananas. And then a few buckets of sweet rice and condensed milk. And tell me if you'll still be sitting on the throne. You'll probably be sitting on another kind of throne. It comes out. Devotees were so happy. And Lord Chaitanya happened to see one very simple maidservant. Her name was Duki. Uneducated, extremely poor, unknown. She was just going to the Ganga and helping the devotees get the water. The devotees would get the water and bring it, and she would just be carrying the water and putting it in nice lines so that another devotee would take the water that she would place there and give it to another devotee who would give it to another devotee, and they would bathe Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya saw her and asked Srivas, who is this lady? And he said, her name is Duki. Duki means one who suffers. Usually in India, in those days, if someone lost several children, and finally another child was born, they would call something like Duki, thinking that the god of death will feel sorry for this girl if she's named one who suffers, and let her live. Something like that. Otherwise, why would you name your daughter Duki? So Shiva said, her name is Dukhi. And Lord Chaitanya saw that she was sincere. All she was doing is just, with love and devotion, trying to assist everyone else by making the water in a nice place for them. He said, this name, Dukhi, does not sit properly in my heart. From this day, I call her Sukhi. Which means happy one. But when he gave her the name Sukhi, he gave her ecstatic love of God simultaneously. Supremely happy. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to fulfill all the desires of all the devotees who were there. So he was calling on them one by one. It's actually a very long story, and we have a very small amount of time. So I'm just going to focus on a few events that happened. He turned to Gangadas Pandit, who when Lord Chaitanya was younger, Gangadas was his teacher. The Supreme Lord accepted a teacher, and Gangadas taught. He said, Gangadas, do you remember many years ago, the ruling party, they hated Hindus, and they were actually chasing after you and your family with the intent to torture, rape, and molest your wife and daughters. And you were running away from them. And you were trying to hide. And you ran and ran at night to the Ganga. And there was no boatman to take you away. And you knew they were coming. And there was nothing you could do. The Ganga was a very, very swift current. It would be impossible to swim across it. You were cornered. And when you heard that they were coming, you were weeping and crying. What's going to happen to my family? Worse than death. At that time, an old boatman appeared in a boat. And you, with a weeping voice, you said, boatman, please save me. Please give me shelter. Please give shelter to my family and carry me across the river. That boatman came out of nowhere in the middle of the night and took you across the river. Lord Chaitanya said, nobody knows this story, do they, Gangadas? But I do, because I was that boatman. I descended from the spiritual world in the guise of a boatman just to protect you and your family because you are crying my holy names with such sincerity. He looked to Advaitacharya and he said, please ask any benediction for me. I will give you anything. And Lord and Advaitacharya, he only said a sentence, but so meaningful. There could be volumes of purports to the sentence. He said, you have already fulfilled all my desires. Whatever I wanted, whatever I pray for, I received. What does that mean? Advaitacharya prayed for years with tears for Krishna to appear into this world to spread Hari Kirtan and to give the world the opportunity to love Krishna, to spread the highest dharma. Because Lord Chaitanya appeared in this world. And now he had inaugurated the Sankirtan movement. And without discrimination, he was giving Krishna consciousness to everyone and anyone who would accept it. And he was completely, now he not only did that, but he always wanted to worship the Lord as God, but the Lord never allowed any devotee to do that. And now he's sitting on the throne of Vishnu. And he's allowing us to feed and to bathe. And he's giving the ultimate satisfaction to all the devotees. He said, you've already fulfilled my every prayer. I want nothing else from you. Then Lord Chaitanya said, bring Sridhar. Some people said, who was Sridhar? At that time, the devotees didn't know him. He said, you go to the edge of the town, Simantadweep. And there, Sridhar is living. Lord Chaitanya explained the life of Sridhar to all the devotees. And it's recorded in the scripture. He said, go there to the outskirts of town because all night long he's loudly chanting Krishna's names. And the materialistic people around there, they don't like him at all. They think this is such hypocrisy. The man's in poverty and he's chanting Krishna's names. Is he just showing off his religion? And what nonsense. What is Krishna giving you? You're so poor. It's not out of devotion that he's chanting. This is what they would spread around and talk about. What to speak if they had newspapers or internets. They were spreading in all directions in that area. The Sridhar, he has no devotion. It's just that he's so hungry. His stomach is burning and he's screaming out the names of Hari due to hunger. They would chastise him. They would blaspheme him. Sometimes they'd throw an old rotten piece of fruit at him and say, eat and shut up. This is the way they treated. But he was such a saint that the Supreme Lord was longing for his association. Lord Chaitanya told all the devotees that when he was younger as Nimai Pandit, every day he would go to Kolavecha Sridhar's little place where he sold his banana products. He would take the trunk of a banana tree, he would buy it for really cheap, and he would cut it into many little pieces and sell it. That was how he made his living, kola. Every now and then, he would get some bananas, and that was a treasure. And he would sell the bananas. Sometimes he would have banana leaves to sell for plates. Sometimes some banana flowers or some banana roots, which he would cut up and sell. And he would sell it for the least possible price because he was feeling so deeply sympathy and concern for any customer that they shouldn't be inconvenienced by me. The Lord said he was as honest as Maharaj Yudhisthira. Sometimes business people will say, for you, I make no profit. But they're usually not like Maharaj Yudhisthira. Whatever he would say would be totally honest truth. He had no ulterior motives. He had no attachments. He was so renounced. He would only make a very small amount of money every day. And as soon as he made the money, before he even went home with the money, he would take half of that and buy various offerings for Mother Ganga. And he would do his Ganga Puja. And whatever was left, he came home. He had a tiny one-room straw hut with no furniture and practically no possessions. He hardly had anything more than the tattered, torn clothes that he would wear. And he was very thin from not eating much. And every day, Nimai would come to his little banana-selling place. And Nimai would say, how much are these banana leaves? How much are these banana roots? And oh, you have some bananas, how much are they? And he would give the least possible price that he could sustain himself.
And Nimai would say, I will give you half while you are cheating me.
He said, I'm not cheating you. This is a good price.
He said, no, it is too much. I will give you half.
They would, Nimai, every day, he loved Sridhar so much, just to give him his association and to receive his association, Nimai would come to argue the price of bananas every day for 3 hours. That's rasa. And at the end of the day, usually at the end of the argument, Lord Chaitanya would often just say, I will just take them for nothing. And he would pick them up and start walking away. And Sridhar would say, no, you can't just take them for nothing. And Lord Chaitanya, why are you becoming so violent with me? You are supposed to be gentle and renounced. Why are you so attached to these bananas? And Sridhar would say, no, if you want these bananas, please take these bananas. Lord Chaitanya said, you taking from me, don't you understand that you worship the Ganga every day? Don't you know who I am? Who am I? And Sridhar would say, you are a very learned Brahmin. He said, I am the Lord and Master of Mother Ganga. It is from me that she emanates. And Sridhar would say, you are so mischievous. You can say anything, but how can you say that? The Lord Chaitanya said, you are a... How can you say what you say? You wear all these clothes that look like they're all torn up, and you're tying knots to keep it together. You're chanting Krishna's name every day. What is Krishna doing for you? Look at your house. There are so many atheists out there, and so many agnostics, and so many worshippers of devas, and they have nice houses and nice food and nice clothes, and you don't have anything nice. What is Krishna doing for you? Sridhar, very humble, he said, in my life, I have seen. There is the king who has wonderful clothes, beautiful palace, eats fine foods. And there is the bird who lives in a little nest, who just eats some wild berries and just wears the same feathers every day. But I don't see that there's much of a difference between the life of a king and a bird. Because in the passing of time, they're both enjoying some and suffering some and everything else. I'm tasting the nectar of Krishna. I'm happy. I don't need any of these things. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm going to expose your hypocrisy. You're pretending to be a poverty-stricken person selling bananas, but actually hidden, you have great treasure of wealth. Sridhar said, I don't have anything hidden. What you see is what I am and what I have. There's nothing hidden. He said, I will reveal and expose you. And today I will take your bananas. He said, please take my bananas. Every day, like this, 3 hours. And Sridhar, knowing that Nimai would come, he would be looking down the little dirt, dusty path, waiting for Nimai. Oh, his heart would be pounding in expectation, anticipation. When will Nimai come to steal my bananas? He didn't know he was God. He had no clue that he was God. But he loved him as God. This was the beauty of the Leela. It is described by Lord Chaitanya that he was so insignificant and unknown in the town that nobody knew his name, Sridhar. They just called him Kolavecha, the banana seller. But Lord Chaitanya loved his bananas so much.
He loved Sridhar's devotion so much
that every single day he would eat his meals that Sachimata would cook for him on the banana leaf that Kulavecha Sridhar would give him. And Kulavecha Sridhar had this little thatch hut, and it was just made of straw, and every now and then a pumpkin would grow from his roof. And Kulavecha Sridhar would run and give that pumpkin to Sachimata. And Lord Chaitanya would relish eating it. So the Lord said, go to the outskirts of town and bring Sridhar. They said, well, we don't know where he lives. He said, you don't have to know where he is. All you have to do is just sit down and listen. And you'll hear somebody loudly chanting, follow that sound and you will find him. So it was night. And they went and they heard Sridhar just all alone with such love, weeping in separation from his beloved Lord, crying out the holy names. And they went to his house. And by this time, Sridhar understood that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Lord Krishna, the Lord of his life. They said, Vishwambar, Lord Gauranga is calling for you, Sridhar. Huh? He said, he's calling for me. Yes, he wants us to take you to him. Sridhar, he's calling for me? Why me? And he fell unconscious. That was his humility. This is a symptom of real devotion. Not that we expect mercy. If you expect something, you don't appreciate it when it comes. But if we feel ourselves unqualified when it comes, we are so grateful. And when we are grateful, we could actually receive it and digest it. So the devotees picked him up and helped to carry him to Srivasangam, several kilometers. And Sridhar, oh, can you imagine his happiness? He comes into the house of Srivas first time, and he sees Lord Chaitanya sitting on the throne of Vishnu. And Sridhar bows down, and Lord Chaitanya, as soon as he says to him, he says, Sridhar, he said, see my opulence. And when Sridhar looked up at the Lord, the Lord assumed the form of Krishna. He had a beautiful, beautiful complexion that was dark like the bark of a tamal tree. He had a beautiful peacock feather decorating his curling hair that was circling his beautiful moon-like face, his wonderful lotus-like eyes. Flower garland down to his knees. And the Lord was standing beside Lord Balaram, who had a beautiful white complexion, holding his plow and his club. And he saw the forest of Vrindavan with kadamba trees and tamal trees and banyan trees and beautiful parrots and birds and peacocks and cows. He saw gopas and gopis. He saw the spiritual world. And he saw Brahma and Shiva and Narada and Anantashesha and all the various primary devas singing beautiful prayers to glorify Krishna and Balaram. You see, Kulavecha Sridhar is a cowherd boy in Krishna's lila. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing just the nature of his love. Kulavecha Sridhar fell unconscious upon seeing this. And the Lord touched him and woke him up and said, Sridhar, offer prayers to me. Whatever's in your heart, speak it. And Sridhar said, how could I offer prayers? I have no education. I'm illiterate. I never studied Vedas. I don't know any prayers. Lord Chaitanya said, that is not a disqualification. Just speak what's in your heart. And Goddess Saraswati will appear on your tongue to be, so that you could express the love of your heart perfectly. Ananyaschittayam domam yejana pariyupasate. Where there is sincere devotion, there are no impediments. So Sridhar just began to speak. Beautiful prayers. He described all glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Gauranga, you have descended into this world to bestow upon all the world the greatest treasure of the jewel of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service resides in your body. And you bestow that devotional service to those devotees who approach you and want nothing else. And the power of that devotional service that you give the devotees conquers even you. This is the most esoteric and beautiful of all truths. How you give the love to your devotees, and through that love, the devotees defeat you. And he gave many examples, Sridhar. Bhishma, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Bhishma defeated you. You made a promise before that battle, I will not lift a weapon and I will not fight. But Bhishma made a promise that he would make you break your promise. Because he was about to defeat Arjuna and to protect your devotee. Konteya pratijani hi namena bhakta namas. In order to protect your devotee Arjuna, you were willing to break your own promise. Why? Sridhar said, just to show that I'm defeated by the love of my devotee, like Bhishma. Yashoda Mai, she bound you with a rope and tied you up. And you allowed her to do so just to show that you are bound, defeated by the love of your devotee. And Satyabhama, your wife in Dwarka, she treated you like a henpecked husband. She would say, Krishna, I want a parijata tree. You gave a parijata flower to Rukmini. I want a tree. There was only one parijata tree in Indra's kingdom. And Indra was really attached to that parijata tree. And there was a whole war over that parijata tree. You all know the story. Just to satisfy your wife, Satyabhama. Just to show the world that you are defeated by the love of your devotees. And the gopas, they wrestle with you, the little cowherd boys, and they win. And then to show the whole world that you have been defeated by your cowherd boy friends, you carry them on your shoulders in public. Every living being is carrying you within their hearts. And yet you are carrying your devotees, the little gopas like Sri Dhamma, on your shoulders. Just to show the world how you're conquered by bhakti. Devotees beg for this bhakti. And then they defeat you with that bhakti. Kalavacha Sridhar, he explained how the power of bhakti is it crushes all material illusion into powder. And then when the devotees dance in kirtan, the breeze created by their dancing blows that powder away forever. This is the power of the chanting of God's name.
But if we want to attain that state that we're speaking about and access that power, we must very carefully hear the next part of this lila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so satisfied with Sridhar. He said, I want to give you any benediction. Ask for anything. I will give you the wealth of a king. Sridhar said, I don't want. Simply a disturbance. I will give you elevation to higher planets. Sridhar said, I don't want to go anywhere else. The Lord said, I will give you the 8 mystic perfections, the cities, people, lifetimes of tapasya to gain even a fraction of one city. I will give you all 8 mystic cities in full. Sridhar said, that will only agitate my mind. What do I need cities for? But you're so poor and you have nothing. I'll give you liberation. I'll give you elevation to the spiritual world. Sridhar said, I have no interest in any of these things. Lord Chaitanya said, ask for something. I want to give you something. And Sridhar said, I'm not a business person. I don't want anything for you. Just be peaceful. The Lord said, I am peaceful, but I want to give you something. He said, you want to make me happy? Sridhar said, that's what I live for. He said, well, what will make me happy is if you ask for something. I want to give you a benediction. Sridhar said, if you insist on giving me something, if that will make you happy, I only want to be the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. I want to love you and remember you unconditionally. And let within my heart of hearts, wherever I may be, let me always be meditating and seeing that little boy Nimai coming to steal my bananas. Birth after birth after birth, wherever I may be, my Lord, please come to steal my bananas. When he said this from his heart, Lord Chaitanya began to cry. All the devotees began to cry. This is the nature of bhakti. Lord Chaitanya roared. He said, I give you pure, unalloyed devotional service to its highest perfect state forever. And anyone who hears this story about you with a sincere and faithful heart will receive the most precious treasure of pure love for Krishna. Hearing this, all the devotees lifted their arms and loudly cried, Jai, Jai!
Jai, Jai!
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Murari Gupta. He was sitting in the side. He said, Murari, look at me. And Murari looked at Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya had transformed his body into the form of Lord Ram. His body was the color of the Durba grass. He was holding a bow with a quiver of arrows on his back. He was so beautiful. On his left side was beloved Sita. On his right was Lakshman. And then Murari Gupta saw all these armies of celestial monkeys all around Ram offering prayers. And then he happened to look down and saw that his body had a tail. And he fell unconscious. And Lord Chaitanya said, arise, arise. He said, don't you remember? You do not remember, but now I am revealing to you.
I am your beloved Ram. And just see, on this side, it's Lakshman. You went great distance and picked up the Gandhamadana mountain to cure him from his injury. And here is Sita. You wept oceans of a shoreless ocean of tears to see her anguish when she was under the captivity of Ravana. I am your beloved. And you are my eternal servant, birth after birth. You are Hanuman.
Murari Gupta was overwhelmed. The Lord revealed his true identity as Hanumanji. The Lord asked him to ask for a benediction. Murari Gupta, he said, I do not want anything. Just give me the power to always sing your glories. Give me only the benediction that I never forget you. That birth after birth after birth, you are always my master and I am always your servant. And wherever I may be, just give me this one boon, that I will have the company of those people who consider you their master and who consider themselves your servant. Let me just be the servant of the servant of your servants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told with all the devotees with so much emotion. He said the reason his name is Murari Gupta, because he appears to be like an ordinary householder with a family, and he appears to be an ordinary doctor. He was an Ayurvedic doctor, and he's crushing herbs and roots and making medicines. But actually, although he's so humble, with no pretension, in his heart, Murari Krishna is always hidden, Gupta. But today we have revealed the truth of Murari Gupta's heart. Murari Gupta, I give you this benediction. You will always be with me, and you will always be more dear to the very life of all of the devotees. All the devotees seeing this. You see, a devotee's joy is to see others getting blessings. In the material world, we want things for ourselves. But there is a happiness so far beyond the happiness of getting what you want. And that's to see other people getting blessed. To the degree we find happiness in seeing other people get blessings, to seeing other people being empowered, to that degree, we're going to really be very dear to Krishna. In the material state, we become arrogant if we're better than someone else. We become envious or depressed if we're less than someone else. But in bhakti, real bhakti, we find the greatest happiness in seeing others receiving blessings, others excelling in what they're doing, others being empowered by Krishna. So all the devotees, they were in the highest happiness to seeing each other getting all their desires fulfilled. Anyone who hears the story of Murari Gupta gets pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. If we hear with faith and sincerity. Then Lord Chaitanya looked across the room and saw Haridas Thakur. And he cried out, Haridas, your body is better than mine. You don't remember. You don't remember what happened, but I remember. Many years ago, you were took prisoner by the king and the Qazis. And even though you were born of an untouchable family, you were chanting Krishna's names. Because you were doing that, so many caste Brahmins hated you. And so many people of other religions who were ruling at the time hated you. But the sincere people, they loved you. Chanting 300,000 names every day with such humility and devotion. Whoever saw you, if they didn't hate you, if their hearts were even slightly receptive, they would be transformed. You're brought to the ruler and told, either you give up this chanting of Krishna's names or you will be beaten and tortured till death. And Haridas said, he laughed. He laughed. He said, there's one God. He has different names and different religions. Somehow that one God has attracted me like in the beautiful, beautiful form of Krishna. And I could never give him up. And I could never give up chanting his names. And I could never give up sharing my love for Krishna with the world. Even if you cut my body into millions of pieces, every piece will be spreading the glories of your holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
The king looked at the executioners and said, take this animal and beat him till he's dead.
Lord Chaitanya said they beat you in 22 marketplaces with whips, dragging you by the hair, kicking you, spitting on you, in front of the whole public. And all the while, you were just praying, my Lord, please forgive them.
I could not tolerate this. I descended from the spiritual world to kill these men who were torturing you. I took my Sudarshan chakra to sever their heads.
But at the same time, you were praying, my Lord, if ever I've done anything to please you, I only want one boon. Forgive these people. Give them your love and your mercy. He said, I couldn't harm them because I didn't want to displease you. In fact, my Sudarshan chakra became powerless because of the power of your forgiveness. So I couldn't do anything to them. So I personally laid my own body over yours so that you would not die from these beatings. And I took the beatings myself. Just see. And Lord Chaitanya revealed to Haridas and all the devotees all the whip marks and his own body. Haridas Thakur fainted in ecstatic gratitude. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu yearns to serve his servants. He said, rise, rise, and gaze at my opulence. Haridas Thakur saw the supreme opulence of Krishna. He saw this Lord Chaitanya transforming into the Lord of his heart. And Haridas said, while weeping, he says, I am so insignificant. I am so fallen. But still, you are so kind that you never abandon any devotee that remembers you. Even if an insect remembers you, you will give that insect full shelter. Even if a worm remembers you, But Haridas, he said, I am so unfortunate. I never remember you. Dushasana, on the order of Duryodhana, dragged Draupadi into the assembly hall by the hair. And with his powerful hands, he was about to pull her sari right off. But Draupadi, she remembered you. She lifted her arms high in the air and she cried out, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. And in remembering you, you appeared before her in the form of a sari to protect her. Prahlad Maharaj, his demoniac father, tried to kill him by throwing him off mountains, by throwing him in fire, by giving him deadly poison, by putting him in the pits of snakes. But Prahlad remembered you, so you were there to give him shelter. The Pandavas, when they were in Kamyavan, Durvas Muni came with 60,000 disciples. Duryodhana sent him. Because Durvas Muni is famous for cursing people who displease him. And he's very powerful. He's an Amsa of Shiva. I don't think any of you want to displease him. And Duryodhana said, Oh, Pandavas, they have such good prasad, but you have to come at, you have to go to their place in Kamyavan where they're living in exile in the forest at this particular time. So Durvas Muni went, but they knew that that was the time the Pandavas already finished eating. And Draupadi had her mystical pot that could cook for as many people as she wanted to, provide for as many people as possible, until she ate. And Duryodhana had spies. He knew just when she ate. So she had eaten. The pot was empty. Durvas Muni comes, says, I'm coming, all my disciples are here. We want prasad. Yudhisthira, what are we going to do? He said, why don't you take your bath first, and then, you know, we'll make arrangements. So he went to take bath, and he said, Draupadi, you know, make your pot, give prasad. And she said, I already ate. It won't work until tomorrow. Draupadi was remembering Krishna. Yudhisthira was remembering Krishna. They were in a desperate situation. And Haridas explained, Krishna came. And he said, Maharaj Yudhisthira, please give me prasad. And Maharaj Yudhisthira's already in so much anguish. He said, I can't, I'm going to get cursed by Durvas, and now my beloved Krishna's coming and wants prasad, and I don't have anything. Krishna said, just bring the pot. But the pot's empty, just bring the pot. So Krishna went to the pot, and he scrutinizingly examined the pot, and he saw one tiny little dried up piece of sabji stuck to the side of the pot. And he reached in and snatched it and ate it. What does that mean? What happened is, because when you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. Krishna is the root. Because he was satisfied by the devotion of the devotees remembering him, Durvas Muni, while he was in the Yamuna River, and all of his disciples, all of a sudden, their stomachs filled up and got swollen with food. They didn't know what was happening. And they started making all these sounds, like, you know, when somebody who's just severely overeaten. And then Krishna told Bhima, because one of us didn't know what was happening. He said, Krishna said, Bhima, go bring Durvas Muni. Bring your club with you and bring them. So Bhima comes with this, what's happening? We have no food. The pot's empty and he's telling us to bring them. So he goes to the river Yamuna and Bhima says, he's holding club, he said, Yudhisthira is calling you, prasad is ready.
That's what Krishna told him to say. And they said, Bhima, you know, you go back, we'll be there in a few minutes. So Bhima went back, and Duras Muni said, if Yudhisthira made a big feast and none of us could eat a single morsel, then Bhima might get angry, so we better run and get out of here. So they all ran away. This is the power of just remembering Krishna. And Ajamil, he had committed so many abominable activities. But at the end of his life, when he was seeing the Yamadutas pulling him to hell, he remembered his son. And his son's name was Narayan. And by reciting the name of Narayan, for a moment he remembered you and was delivered. And eventually given the highest perfection of life. Please don't reject me, Haridas said, even though I never remember you. He was remembering Krishna 24 hours a day. But this was his humility. Lord Chaitanya said, please ask for a boon. Haridas said, I don't want to ask anything from you. But the Lord said, it will make me happy. Ask for a boon. Haridas said, if it pleases you to give me something, give me the food remnants of those who love you, your devotees. Let that be my worship, birth after birth after birth, that there's nothing more precious and valuable than the prasad that has come from the plates of your devotees. I am so unfortunate, Haridas said. I yearn for prestige. Please forgive me and just allow me to be even a dog near the house of your devotees so that when they throw out their leaf plates, I could go and eat their remnants, my worshipable object in life. I beg you again and again, just let me be the servant of the servant who loves your devotees. And then Haridas said, I'm actually ashamed that I'm so fallen and I am asking you for a boon that is so exalted as this. But still, if you want to grant me something, this is my heart's desire. To be the servant of the servant of the servant. When Haridas Thakur was speaking these words, Lord Chaitanya was revealing to the world how he was able to chant 300,000 names of Krishna every day. That's about 194 rounds. Strictly. And still he would be out spreading Krishna consciousness wherever he went. Trinadapi sunichena tarori vasi hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Haridas was humble like a blade of grass, forgiving and tolerant like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and not expect anything in return. When Haridas was being beaten through those 22 marketplaces, ultimately the executioners, they were exhausted. The whole day passed and they were beating him constantly. They said, Haridas, we can't move our arms anymore. And you're still living. Nobody ever lived past 3 marketplaces. 22. And you are looking at us as if you feel sorry for us. Now, because of you, we're going to have to die because we couldn't kill you. And Haridas said, oh, just see what I will do. And he closed his eyes and chanted Krishna's names, and all the symptoms of life disappeared from his body.
So they picked up his body and brought it and threw it at the doorway of the king. And the king said, what should we do with it? He's a Hindu. Should we burn him? The Brahmin said, no, he's an untouchable. He cannot be burned. It will contaminate the sacred fire. He doesn't deserve it. Well, he was born of another religion. We can bury him. They said, no, then he will attain paradise. He cannot be buried. So what should we do with him? Just throw him in the river like a piece of garbage. So they took his body and threw it in the river like a piece of garbage. He was dead, physically. And he floated downstream a ways and then came back to life. He was in a state of samadhi where all the symptoms of his life disappeared. He was totally absorbed in the spiritual world. And he crawled out. He rose from the dead, literally. He crawled out of the Ganga. Now, most people would go to some hidden place. Somehow or other, I got away. You know what Haridas did? As soon as he came out of the Ganga, he walked immediately right back to Fuliagram, to the village, to talk to the king. He went right up to the king and offered all respect and honor to the king. And the king saw him. He said, you were just dead. You were beaten. He said, I forgive you. You forgive me. The king started crying and fell at Haridas' feet. The executioners came and fell at his feet. And Haridas embraced them with love. That's all he wanted, was to give them devotion. And if it took all that suffering to give them devotion for Haridas, that was a small price. It's that type of humility. We read about Trinada Bisudichena, but Haridas Thakur is an example. An example we cannot imitate. But to see the standard of his humility, of his forgiveness, of his devotion, and to hear these beautiful prayers of what he's wanting, he honors devotees so much that his worshipable object, birth after birth, he could be asking for anything from the Lord. He's just asking for some morsels of food that falls out of devotees' mouth when they eat prasad. It is that spirit that empowers him to chant the names of the Lord constantly. Lord Chaitanya said, Haridas, anyone who sees you, anyone who talks to you, anyone who remembers you, I will give the benediction of giving them Krishna, of giving them true devotion. That is the power of your love. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said something that really deeply affected me. He said, Haridas Thakur, you are my master. I am forever a prisoner in your heart. Now in this world, nobody wants to be a prisoner. But the Supreme Lord yearns to be a prisoner. Imprisoned by the chains of the love of his devotee. Within the devotees' hearts. And I give you, Haridas, the gift that without offense you will forever chant my holy names and you will serve me and you will serve all the devotees. The devotees lifted their arms and chanted, Jai, Jai. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught here that it is not by birth, it is not by opulence,
It's simply by the intense desire to serve that one can please the Supreme Lord. So many people were asking so many little benedictions. Some were asking, "My father is unfavorable to the path of bhakti. Please make him a devotee." So be it. Some were praying for the welfare of their disciples or their relatives or their friends or the conditioned souls or their enemies. The interesting thing about this whole Mahaprakash Satprahariya Lila is nobody asked for anything for themselves. They were all asking for boons for other people. The only thing they wanted for themselves is the blessing to serve, the blessing to remember the Lord and to love the Lord and to serve in that spirit. As so many devotees were getting their desires fulfilled, Srivas Pandit asked, "Why are you not calling Mukunda? After all, he's your favorite kirtan singer. When Mukunda sings kirtan, our hearts melt. Your heart melts. You dance in ecstasy. We all dance in ecstasy. He brings Krishna in such a powerful way. Why are you neglecting him?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Do not plead on behalf of that wretch ever again." I said, "What? What do you mean? He's dear to all of us. He's your devotee." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Do you know what kind of devotee he is? He's a hypocrite. He's the kind of devotee who takes straw between their teeth and touches your feet, and then in the next moment he picks up a metal rod and cracks you on the head with it. That is Mukunda. That is what he does to me." "What are you talking about? He's hearing, he's chanting, he's serving, he's loving. We see him 24-hour days. What do you..." He said, "What happened is Mukunda, years before, he had a guru who was against devotion. He said, Mukunda will go to so many other people and be just like them. And if other people are decrying devotional service, he will sit there and listen. When he's with the devotees, he'll talk about bhakti. When he's with somebody else, he will follow what they're doing." Mukunda was crying. The Lord said, "I never want to see his face again." And Mukunda cried out, "Will I ever be able to see the Lord again?" And Srivas said, "Mukunda is asking, will he ever be able to see you again?" And Lord Chaitanya, in a very thunderous voice, said, "He will see me only after 10 million births and deaths." When Mukunda heard that, he was thinking, "The Lord has given his word that I will see him. I only have to wait 10 million births. That's such a small price to see the Lord. I will go on giving my life for the next 10 million births, 100% with the hope and the great anticipation of seeing him." And Mukunda started crying out, "I will see, I will see." He was dancing and dancing in great ecstasy that in only 10 million births I will see the Lord. When Lord Chaitanya saw this, he started to smile. Just see the nature of his devotion. He sees such value and he has such faith that he's happy. Lord Chaitanya said, "Mukunda, now, come, see me now. I want to give you myself now." But Mukunda couldn't hear him. He was enraptured by the idea of only 10 million births. He was dancing, chanting Krishna's name. "I will see, I will see." Lord Chaitanya said to the devotees, "Bring him here." The devotee said, "Mukunda, he wants to see you now. The Lord wants to see you now." And he was, "I will see, I will see, I will see." "No, now, now. After 10 million births,
devil see? He wants to see. They had to pick him up and bring him there and put him right in front of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was blessing him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy. He said, Mukunda, because of your faith in my words, and because of your grateful heart and your eagerness to see me, even after that long of time, that has completely purified all your offenses. And actually, you never even made any offenses. Because you're such a lovely, humble devotee that a devotee like you cannot make any offense. And Mukunda offered prayers. He said, actually, my Lord, I'm a great fool. I have no real faith in you. And because I don't have that true devotion, my life is as useless as a pile of ashes. But still, you are so kind that I'm feeling bliss because I see you. Duryodhana, Krishna showed his Virat Rupa, the universal form to Duryodhana. But he wasn't happy. He wanted to arrest you. Because even though he saw you, he felt no happiness. Because he had no devotions. When you came to rescue Rukmini, her brother Rukma, and all those other kings, they saw you. The same form that Brahma, Shiva, Narada are longing to see. The same form that great yogis are performing lifetimes of tapasya to see. They were seeing you. But because they didn't have devotion, they were not happy. They wanted to destroy you. Hiranyaksha, he saw that magnificent form of Varahadev, the boar, lifting the earth out of the ocean. But there was no happiness because he didn't have real devotion. Hiranyakashipu, he was face to face with Lord Narasingadev. Would you be happy to see Lord Narasingadev? Prahlad was happy. But Hiranyakashipu was miserable because he had no real devotion. But then Mukunda said, Kupcha, she was just a simple little uneducated hunchback woman working for Kamsa, but she found great pleasure in seeing you because she had devotion. And the Yajnapatnis, the wives of the Brahmins, they didn't have the knowledge, they didn't have the ritualistic prowess or the followers as their husbands, but they couldn't see you. But their wives saw you. And they felt such happiness because they had devotion. The women of Mathura attained perfection because of their happiness in seeing you. And Sudama, the garland maker of Mathura, he was given the benediction that all of his desires would be fulfilled in this life and he would return to the highest perfection of the spiritual world, all this after this life. Why? Because of his devotion. He was so happy to see you. But the same day, Kamsa saw you. But he wasn't happy at all. He wanted to kill you. And ultimately, he was destroyed by his own sins because he had no bhakti. The power of devotion is so great that Ananta, Shiva, Narada, Vyas, they spend the entire span of creation trying to glorify bhakti, the power of devotion. And they could never even begin to explain the extents of the beauty of bhakti. Mukunda said, I'm just like a little worm. How is it possible that I'm so happy at this moment because I see you? Lord Chaitanya, seeing his sincerity,
the Supreme Lord was so overcome, he began to weep. And he said, Mukunda, whenever and wherever you sing, I will come to that place and deliver everyone. That was the ultimate desire of Mukunda. He said, whatever you said about devotional service is true. When I was in Mathura, there was a washerman, and I offered him the opportunity to serve. I stood right before him in my original transcendental form and asked him for some cloth. And he chastised me. He said I should be punished because this was Kamsa's cloth. He said, let me tell you a secret, Mukunda. That washerman had performed lifetimes of austerities just to see me. And when I did come before him as the fruit of his tapasya, because he had no devotion, he was not happy. In fact, he was miserable. Mukunda, whenever you sing, I will place pure devotion in your heart, and your singing will melt all the assembled Vaishnavas' hearts. I give you the benediction that you will be dear to all the devotees, to all living beings, and whenever I descend into this world, you will be my favorite singer to chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Anyone who hears this story with faith, according to our scripture, will someday sing with Mukunda. And anyone who feels happiness hearing about Mukunda's devotion will see Lord Chaitanya face to face. And I'll end with one small story. I don't know how small it will be. As the Lord was giving the benedictions to these acharyas, to these avatars, to these devotees, to poor little banana seller Sridhar, to the doctor Murari Gupta, to the untouchable person who lived in a cave, Haridas Thakur, to Mukunda, and all the others, Advaitacharya, the Lord saw a little 4 or 5-year-old girl who was the niece of Srivas Pandit, whose house this was. She was just sitting in the corner watching all this. Her name was Narayani. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to show everybody the power of his grace. He ate some food and personally took the food, the Mahaprasad remnants, and gave it to Narayani, and she ate, very happy. And then Lord Chaitanya said, Narayani, little Narayani, chant name of Krishna and cry in ecstasy. And little Narayani, who just ate the prasad, everyone was watching. 4-year-old girl. She went, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. She fell on the ground. Literally, rivers of torrents of tears poured from her eyes. Her hairs were standing on end. She was trembling in ecstatic love, crying, Krishna, Krishna. And all the devotees watched. This is pushti. This is grace. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu and their associates, they descended into this world to teach us that the power of Maya is inconceivable.
by the grace of the Lord, we could overcome all obstacles.
Krishna
says this material nature, three modes, rajaguna, tamaguna, sattvaguna, very insurmountable, impossible to cross over. But one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. How is that? When we take shelter of the Lord, we attract the grace of the Lord. Little Narayani was not a great scholar or a powerful yogi, but she received the grace of the Lord and she attained perfection within a moment. Bhakti is to access the grace of the Lord. And the path of bhakti is the science of accessing the grace of the Lord. It's more powerful than the entire material existence. Why? Because the grace of the Lord is the energy of Srimati Radharani. She is the compassionate, feminine nature of the Absolute Truth. And grace is her gift to all living beings. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the love of Radha, distributing that grace to the world. By a desire to serve, by a desire to please the Lord, by humility and devotion, and by living a very, very morally proper life, by living with integrity, with dignity, with humility, and with devotion. We cleanse our heart through the path of bhakti. Sometimes we use this example that in this world there are so many frequencies that affect our consciousness. A television these days may have 100 channels. You turn one, you just press a button, and there you get a Bollywood best-selling movie. I've never seen one. If you don't like the movie, you press it, and there's another movie. You press it, and there's news from New York. You press it, and there's a cricket game from Australia. There's a soccer game from Brazil. There's a news station talking about what's happening in South Africa. There's a bulletin with the latest updates of the UP elections. So how is it possible? Just by touching a button, oh, you're getting all these different sounds, different pictures. It's not that you order it. It's you say, you know, I want to see this election update. And you call and they say, well, it will take at least, 48 hours to send it to you. No, just press it again. A little cartoon for your children. It's incredible, isn't it? That means all those frequencies are everywhere. And according to what you tune into, you're going to access that particular frequency. That's the way the world works. We're all like little antennas. Everything you say, everything you do, everything you feel is emitting a certain energy, a certain frequency. When you get angry with somebody, you are putting into the universe anger. When you're envious of someone, you are putting into the universe envy. And there's the collective envy of all all living beings. And there's the collective anger of all living beings. And there's the collective lust of all living beings. And there's the collective greed of all living beings. And there's also the collective goodness of all living beings. It's all there, those frequencies. And what we tune into is what we're going to be affected by. When we tune into lust, we're going to access that, and it's going to fill us. And how to tune in? You just focus on something, and if it starts creating that envy or that lust or that anger, you're tuning into that frequency, and that energy is going to go right into your consciousness. Spiritual life is about tuning into transcendental frequencies. Some tune in to the frequency where you can access mystical powers. Some tune in to access mukti, liberation, access Brahman. Bhakti means to tune in to grace, to Krishna's grace. And Krishna's grace is all-pervading. Krishna's grace is in every atomic particle. Krishna's grace is within our hearts. Krishna's grace is in the sky. Krishna's grace is in every living being. Krishna's grace is all-pervading. It's Radha's potency. But you can't access it unless you tune in. Bhakti is the process of tuning into grace. And when we tune into that grace, it cleanses our heart of all this lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. We see these devotees in the Mahaprakash, they were so tuned into grace. They were experiencing that grace. There's nothing else but grace that can awaken the sleeping, dormant love of God that's within our hearts. There's no other way. Srila Prabhupada explains that pure devotional service is very rare. Because when you have pure devotional service, you conquer Krishna. When you have pure devotional service, Krishna wants to be a prisoner in your heart. He doesn't give it easy. There's no amount of tapasya, there's no amount of learning, there's no amount of charity that can ever gain pure devotional service. It only comes by grace. And if one serves the Lord, one chants the names of the Lord, Prabhupada said, and is sincere, serious, with no ulterior motives, if we practice bhakti in that spirit, we can tune in to the grace. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us that in this age of Kali, if we have the proper temperament in the right association with the right motives, and anybody could do it if they're sincere, there's no more powerful and great way than tuning in to that all-pervading grace of the Lord and awakening that love and the compassion, the highest liberation. And this is what kirtan is. Collectively, all of us together, tuning in to the infinite, all-powerful love and grace of Krishna by raising our arms like little antennas and chanting the holy names. Special guests we have with us, His Holiness Dayananda Saraswami Maharaj. He's sharing the message of bhakti throughout Russia and England and so many other places. A very sincere, humble, fearless, wonderful devotee. Please stand up, Maharaj, and let us welcome him to Radha Gopinath Temple. And we have my dear godbrother Chakravarti Prabhu and my dear god sister Dina Sharana Devi.
Are both of you here? Chakravarti Prabhu, can you stand up? And if Dina Sharana Mataji is here, please. They are from Germany, two very, very senior, wonderful, dedicated, loving devotees who are my life and soul. And let us extend our gratitude for their being here and welcome them to Radha Gopinath Temple. And we have Madhvacharya Prabhu. Where is... Madhvacharya Prabhu is one of the dear most loving associate disciples of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, who's carrying on the Institute of Applied Spiritual Science Technology, or something like that, on behalf of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj in Washington, D.C. He gives me shelter whenever I'm there at his beautiful home, and a wonderful friend in Vaishnav. Please stand up, Madhvacharya Prabhu. Let us very enthusiastically welcome him. And we have Dr. Victor. Is Dr. Victor here? Well, wherever you may be, please stand up if you are here. Would you like to say something about Dr. Victor Madhvacharya Prabhu?
Well, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Guru and Gauranga. Dr. Victor Ibrahim is a physician in Washington, D.C. He actually works with my wife, Kunti Devi Dasi. And he is here. First of all, he met Maharaj about a year ago in Washington, D.C. when Maharaj had broken his toe. And Dr. Ibrahim was able to do some service for Maharaj at that time, and was so impressed with Maharaj, and has been read his book and has been following him on the internet and listening to his lectures, and so he wanted to come here and make some offerings. So he's coming to the Bhaktivedanta Hospital later in the week and offering some service there later in the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, something like that. And we're both happy to be here and take shelter of the gentle, kind, and wonderful Vaishnavas of Chaupati.
It was a very small price to break my toe to meet Victor. We also have Gary. Please come. Come out from your hiding, please. Gary's become a very integral, intimate, loving part of our family. Gary is, I've known him since we're about 10 years old. I guess that's over 50 years we have been friends. For anybody who has read The Journey Home, he's the main character, actually. His mother, who I know since I'm 10 years old, too, she's in her 80s now, She told me she read The Journey Home. And I asked if she liked it. She said, "How could I not? It's all about my son." I was very happy to hear that answer. Gary has become very dear to so many people here, and I'm so happy to see him. Let us very loudly express our gratitude to Gary also. Do you like to say something?
Yeah, of course. And Chakravarti Prabhu Dinasharana, can you come up here and say a few words, please? Come and sit here, please. If you could make a little path for them. Sakyaras. Something like that.
I had this thought, the same thought I have every year when I come to this beautiful temple. And first of all, I'm so honored to be here with all of you, and especially with my lifelong friend, Radhanath Swami Maharaj. But one thought that I've discussed with Maharaj keeps coming back to me. How did we end up here? I mean, we're two Jewish kids from the suburbs of Chicago. How did my friend become such an esteemed Swami with such a beautiful temple and such loving devotees? It amazes me when I see it. You know, and here I am visiting all of you and Radhanath, and I keep trying to figure out in my head, how did this happen? And I'm sure it's by Krishna's grace. And I keep going over the journey in my head from the time we were 10 years old to the time till now. And there's key moments in our lives when things happen. And I heard Radhanath speak today about tuning into bhakti, about tuning into God, about tuning into higher power. And I remember, to me, the key moment was when we were traveling in Europe and we were in the island of Crete in Greece. Most of you remember that from the book. And Radhanath went up to the top of the mountain during the day, and he'd been praying and meditating and begging and pleading and loving, you know, God, show me my path. And finally, he tuned into that power that told him his path was here in India. And to me, that was the pivotal moment. I'll never forget that night in that little cave that we were living in, when he revealed to me that God had opened his heart to him and told him to go to India. To me, that was the pivotal moment in the journey that set the destiny, that the reason we're all here today. You know, that was the moment. And if you read the book, you know that I tried in vain to talk him out of going to India right away. But I realized that he was so determined to follow the word of God when God spoke to his heart that nothing would get in his way. Nothing would stop him. Nothing would deter him. And over the years, I've thought about that a lot. And I realized that most of us could learn, once we set a goal in life, if it's a true goal where you're honoring Krishna and also doing your purpose in life, you should never let anything deter you from it. And that's what Radhanath did. He experienced things on that journey that most of us would have been, we would have been running home to mom and dad and with our tail between our legs crying, but nothing stopped him. I mean, near-death experiences, the refusal, he finally gets to India and they wouldn't let him in. I mean, cholera epidemics, you name it, he experienced it. Thieves and and so, to me, that's the reason we're all here, is because of that day on that island in Crete when God spoke to Radhanath Swami's heart and told him to come to India. And this is why he is here and we're all sitting in this room and I'm here still following my best friend wherever he goes. And I thank all of you. I thank Krishna for leading him to his destiny and helping us all become better human beings. Thank you very much, Maharaj. I love all of you.
sometimes you get good reception on top of mountains. Mataji, please.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees, and Radhanath Swami and everyone else. I can only second every word Gary said, because I feel just the same. Yes. All of us, we're coming from a very long journey, many, many years. I'm also asking myself, some 40 years ago, when I heard about Srila Prabhupada and the devotees, and I did not know anything about Krishna. I didn't understand Krishna. I was maybe looking for God, but I had no idea who God was, how would he look like, what he does. And I'm wondering today, after some 40 years, even though I'm just beginning to understand a little bit of Krishna, what gave me at that time the presence of mind to become initiated by a person like Srila Prabhupada? Just amazing. I was a young girl, I didn't know anything. What gave me this presence of mind to do it? To understand, this is it, this is what I need to do. And it can only be the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotee. That makes it possible for a person like myself, somewhere there in Europe, to come in touch with Krishna consciousness. I remember when I was a very young child, my father took me to the Sahara because he was an architect there and he was building villages with wells and schools and like that. And I was left on my own and the sun was very hot. And then I looked up at the sky and I thought to myself, the whole world is talking about God, but nobody has been able to show him to me. I've never seen a picture, I've never seen, everybody is just talking about it. So I said a prayer and I said, God, if you exist, then I want to know where you are, I want to know where you live, I want to know what you look like, I want to know where you, what you do, I want to know what your name is, I want to know all these things. And then it took another almost more than 20 years before I become in touch with Krishna consciousness. So what is happening is that as Maharaj so wonderfully and so beautifully told us all these past few days since Gopunima, is that the fact is that Krishna knows us better than we do ourselves. And the slightest feeling, the slightest desire that we have to know God, Krishna knows it. We may not notice because we are so engrossed in Maya and so many distractions and so many things, but Krishna knows it. And this slightest faint desire is sufficient to put us on the right track. And if we are fortunate enough to feel it ourselves and to recognize it ourselves and to cultivate it, to let it grow more and more, it is guaranteed, as Maharaj said, that ultimately we will see him at the end. We will. In the meantime, we are all very lucky to sit here together. We are very fortunate to see the Lord daily, to be able to serve him daily, to serve his devotees daily, and actually, if we are simply focusing on our service and this feeling that we have for Krishna, then we can realize that we are already there in his presence, in the presence of his devotees. So as Maharaj said, let's stop pressing all these buttons of the TVs that are giving us so many channels. And just press one channel, which is love of God and love to his devotees, and our life will be perfect and sublime. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, I've been to Chaupati many, many times over the last 7 or 8 years, and it always amazes me how the project is expanding. When I first came, I thought this is the perfection of the practice of devotional service. So many devotees reciprocating very nicely together on the seeming spiritual platform. And the proof of this is when I speak to anybody who's visited, they always feel that they've had a change in their perspective on spiritual life, that they have something to take away and they want to share with others. And so we tend to become limit ourselves by thinking that now we've achieved the perfection of our devotional service. But yet again, when I came this time, I had the opportunity yesterday and this morning to go to Govardhan Eco Village. And I went 4 years ago, and there was nothing hardly there, just the Goshala and one small building. But to my amazement, we drove further on past these buildings, and there's a whole new little complex being set up. There's a complex for kirtan, for seminars, there's a swimming pool, a massage parlour, so many things. And prasadam, a yoga centre. So also it's just more than a building, it's actually a preaching centre that by Maharaja's vision, he's reaching out to those people who won't take directly to devotional service but who have some interest in these different activities like yoga and music and Ayurvedic medicine. So people are attracted to those things, and then they get a taste of devotional service. So this is very innovative in that 15, 20 years ago, people used to come to the movement just by direct preaching. They'd come join the movement and try it out. But those times seem to be not so prominent now. We find it more difficult to make devotees, probably not in Chaupati. There's always many, many devotees coming. But in the rest of the world, there's been a dip in the amount of devotees who are now joining. Quite a severe dip as well. So it seems like this project that Maharaj is setting up at Govardhan is an eye-opener to the rest of the world, in that we can start to adjust our vision and adjust our preaching, not the message of course, so that we can start to attract more devotees and make more devotees. So I'd just like to thank Maharaj for his ongoing perseverance. The tendency in material life is when we've done something is to think, feel satisfied and rest on our laurels. But Maharaj has nobody really to push him, but he's still pushing this project very, very enthusiastically. So I feel very, very happy to be taking that association, and hopefully I can also get the same inspiration. So thank you, Maharaj. So I'd just like to thank everybody for making my visit very very happy while I've been here. I've been very satisfied and looked after so nicely. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
I'd like to relate a little experience or incident that occurred to me the other day when I was walking with my wife Dinesharna. We took a stroll to the Chaupati beach on holy day. And as we were walking, this is a little stretch, there was a man passing us. And he was obviously a devout Muslim. He had the typical beard and the white hat, cap, and the long, robe or tunic that is worn by very devout Muslims. So as he was passing, I was greeting him, and I said to him, Salam alaikum. And he looked at me, and he said, Hare Krishna. So this is a very good example of the result of the preaching or the atmosphere which is being created in Chaupati, and especially also in Radhanath Maharaj's mood, which is, if you read his book, The Journey Home, you see actually in practically every page this non-judgmental, non-discriminating attitude, which is not, we take it for granted in him, but it's not to be taken for granted. It is actually very, very unusual. And this is the mood that Lord Chaitanya manifested also. We have heard during the last few days the wonderful story or relation of between Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur, which was manifesting this very same mood, which is an advanced stage of spiritual understanding, which is far above the initial stage of Kanista state, which is Kanista Adhikara, means to discriminate, to judge, and to limit yourself or to build walls around yourself. So this movement, Krishna conscious movement, is not a movement for Kanishtha Adhikaris. It is a movement for very broad-minded and very loving and caring and extending God's grace to everyone. As a matter of fact, we call the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, his divine grace. So in that title, we see already expressed the very mood that the pure devotee or the devotees of the Lord, their aim or their order, their position is to extend his divine grace, Krishna's divine grace, to everyone. So Chaupati, as Maharaj was pointing out, is a very good place to have this experience, to be treated, where you are treated in such a way, with such kindness, such charity and generosity, that it makes you humble and it makes you grateful very easily. We had this experience, Mother Dinashan and myself, the last couple of days we stayed at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And as here also there, we were treated with so much care, so much attention, and I like to take the opportunity to those devotees, perhaps who are listening now, Gopikanta, Gopikan, Kishore, all the doctors who took care of us there with so much attention. Dr. Dalal is here. He was very kind to us. And all the nurses, all the staff, we like to thank them for having this experience. And like I said, whenever I come here to Chaupati, for me, it is an opportunity to reflect on the principle of thankfulness. It's very easy to become thankful and grateful here because there's so much of an outpouring of love and kindness here. But actually, it is the lesson that we have to learn for our own life. We have to be grateful, practically speaking, at every step. We meet so many people during the day who render services unto us. Practically speaking, at every moment, there is some person who is rendering some type of service to us. Some seen, mostly unseen. The taxi driver, the bus driver, the cashier at the counter in the supermarket or wherever. So we might say, oh, these people, they do this because they're earning their salary, their money. So we take it for granted. But practically, we should be aware that we can't take anything for granted. For example, recently I met one God brother in Vrindavan. He was in Mayapur. And he wanted to come to Vrindavan, but his plane got cancelled because the workers at the airport went on strike. So even if somebody gets paid for his work, still that work is voluntary. He can choose not to work. He can go on strike. In Italy, some years ago, a couple of years back, in I think Naples, the garbage collectors went on strike for 2 months, and the garbage was piling up in the streets and rotting. And there was smell and rats running around. So then, in the Western countries, the garbage collectors are on the lowest level of the social ladder, so to say. So they have not much social respect. But when they didn't do their work, out of a sudden everybody realized how important their service was. And they were extremely grateful when they started working again. So we should actually, it is our opportunity to extend this gratefulness to everyone. As a matter of fact, this age, it has one great defect, and Srila Prabhupada pointed it out. We have this in this prayers and the pranams. The greatest defect in this age is impersonalism. And impersonalism, it shows itself in many different ways. But one of the ways it shows itself in is that we become indifferent to other human beings. It is it's not that the evil people have the greatest, harmful effect on this planet. It is the indifference of people that has the worst effect in the world. Our indifference to other living beings and especially our indifference to other human beings, it causes the greatest suffering. And it is so easy for us. It doesn't cost us anything to show a little respect, some kindness, or some recognition to any other human being. As a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada, he would start every one of his letters with a phrase. Just a few years ago, I became aware what Srila Prabhupada said. Every letter to his disciples, he started with the phrase, "My dear so-and-so, please accept my blessing." So normally, it is upon us to ask for blessings. Now, this is the natural way. You go to a holy person or a spiritual person, and you ask for a blessing. But Srila Prabhupada, he turned it around. He begged his disciples, "Please, please, please accept my blessing." So this was his mood, because he knew that we are so foolish, even so we are in front of the biggest, the greatest personality who can give Krishna prem, Krishna, love of Krishna, but we are so foolish, we are so enwrapped that we are not able to take this blessing, or we don't care for it. That's why he takes the position, Srila Prabhupada took the position, to beg us to accept his blessings. So a devotee's position is actually continuously to think how he can extend the blessings of Krishna. And this is something which we can do at all times. Lord Chaitanya said that we should spread Krishna consciousness indiscriminately, and he clarified that everyone you meet, you give him love of Krishna. So we may not be able to preach to every single person that we meet, but practically speaking, if we have an attitude of non-indifference with every person, we can actually make contact. We can look him in the eye. We can recognize his existence. This is also described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Krishna entered Dwarka, he made eye contact with every single person who greeted him. So this eye contact, so seeing a person in the eye, is to recognize his existence, to show him respect, and then in our heart, either expressively or in ourselves, we can say a prayer or practically look at him with the eyes of love or the eyes of blessings, extending the blessings to another person. And this can have miraculous effects. We don't even know how much potency we have in affecting the lives of other people. There's a novel of an American writer, I don't know the name, but it's also not important. But he has written a very interesting novel that starts off with the last hour of one simple man's life. He is working at some amusement park, and it counts down the last 59 minutes of his life, and it ends. There's a little girl underneath one of these amusement machines, which, how to say, it lifts people up, and he sees that at one point the machine defuncts and it actually is starting to crash to the ground, and this little girl is going to be crushed by this falling debris from this machine. So he pushes her aside, and in the process of it, he himself loses his life. And then actually the real novel starts, and what happens is that after his demise, when he is in his subtle body, out of sudden, so many people are coming to him whom he has affected during his lifetime in some small way, which actually changed this person's life completely. He did not even remember the incidents. He didn't remember any single one of these people, but because he had done some acts of kindness, some acts of attention, some acts of compassion to these people, their life were completely changed afterwards as a result of that action. So we can be also in the same way. We have the potency to affect people's lives in much, much larger degrees than we actually can imagine ourselves. And it all starts with the simple attitude of respecting every being, every human being, seeing Krishna's presence in every soul as Paramatma, as a supreme person, that Krishna loves every being, and our position is to see every being with the eyes of Krishna and try to extend Krishna's kindness and Krishna's love, Krishna's compassion to everyone, or at least to everyone who is rendering some kind of service to us, to thank that person either verbally or non-verbally for the service that they render to us, which we otherwise may take for granted. And this is something, every time I come here to Chaupati, I must say I become inspired, or I think about these points. And I'm very grateful for Maharaj. I just had a small talk with him before the program started, and he told me, I said, I'm so happy to be here because it is rejuvenating my life every time I'm here. I've been here the second time. So I said, please come every year. So I hope I will be able to do that. This is Maharaj's friendship for me is my saving grace. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hari Nam Kirtan ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Let us now perform Nam Sankirtan.